So here's the deal. I forgot to activate the stream and record the file until we were about, 5 minutes into the show when John reminded me. So you're picking it up 5 minutes into the conversation with Steve Probst, and I hope you enjoy it. We opened by talking about Ruben Molina's book, The Dreamy Side, and the early, early days of East L.A.'s fondness for R&B.
Jeanette Baker and the Dots on Huggy Boy's Caddy label, I Lost You, or Good Luck to You, it'd be Beware by Jesse Belvin.
Oh, just the best.
It'd be Good Night, My Love. You know, the slow romantic sides where something might happen.
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
All right.
Not too much blues, not too much rockabilly. A whole lot of slow group harmony and slow single artist records.
Just a
couple of examples.
Well, it wasn't lost on me that when the Romancers did My Heart Cries, of course, that was such a beautiful Etta and Harvey record. Just the best. And supposedly that was the first recorded East L.A. record. I don't know if that's true or not, that Eddie Davis did that. But as far as picking that, it just falls right in line with what you're saying.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah.
And I can think of other examples. That kind of day.
Tell me about it. But yeah, the really early stuff I was curious about, like, you know, the Dominoes or the Swallows or, you know, even some Five Keys or stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely the Five Keys. Definitely some of the, you know, Richard Berry records like Together, the Twilighters, Eternally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of the L.A. classics and some of the out-of-town classics. There's, you know, more up to date would be Mary Wells and some of the more romantic Motown hits.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Some of the early Miracle stuff like that.
Yeah.
That all fits the profile.
Yeah.
And of course, the Florence Gang used Florence by the Paragons.
Okay.
As their theme song. That fit right in. No surprise.
Right.
I don't know, some of the Rama stuff, some of the, you know...
all the George Goldner specials.
all the Morris Levy, quote-unquote, George Goldner. In fact, Morris Levy, I don't know if you heard this story or if Huggy told you this, but when he played G by the Crows, Morris Levy drove out to L.A. to thank Huggy, and Huggy made arrangements. Of course, he wasn't doing LPs at the time. That was well before he was doing LPs.
Right.
But through his contact with George, he was able to, you know, George let him have one or two records off of his label, or his various labels, or various George Goldner labels that, you know, George couldn't keep hold of.
Right, exactly. That Moish obviously got after he bailed him out yet again from his debts with gambling.
From the track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't think the track was quite as dangerous as when he got into some of these loan sharks. I mean, he was when he gave up labels, I think he was going to die otherwise. You know, it wasn't much of a decision. And there was Levy just standing there. But that's interesting because...
Another big record would be several by Robert and Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Not only We Belong Together, but I Believe in You and a couple of those dubs, chantels,
right,
that sort of thing.
When did Huggy Boy start selling the albums? Because I know I was ordering them in the 60s for sure, but I don't know when it started.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't either, but it was on the Border Station, and he had some deal going with Wolfman Jack. I don't know if I told this story, but one time Sylvia and I went up to see the Steve Allen show. It was next to Hollywood Ranch Market.
Okay.
And across the street was an apartment building with a storefront. And I guess we parked there or something. And I looked in, and there were all these, were they Huggy Boy albums? It was something that told me Huggy Boy is here. I think he had a record store, and I asked him about that location, and he said, yeah, he and Wolfman Jack shared an apartment in that particular building and were in in business with a record store. It was on Vine Street.
Okay. Yeah.
And, I never went back. I never took advantage of the knowledge I had, but I don't think it lasted that long.
Well, of course, the XERB didn't last long enough, and to this day, I wonder, and I have absolutely no idea, and maybe you have some insight, but of course, Wolfman went from XERF to XERB, and of course, 1090, okay. And that's, of course, where Lucas heard him from the Inspiration for American Graffiti and all that. We know that. Well, at one point, I don't know what Wolfman Jack did, but the Mexican government outlawed preachers on the radio, which of course bankrupted him, and he lost the station. Well, after he was over and done and it was obvious that he wasn't coming back, suddenly the Mexican government had a change of heart and preachers on the radio were fine again. And I've always wondered, who did he tick off to that extent?
Who did
Wolfman Jack? Yeah, because he had an ownership interest in that, you know, a lease interest in that, that he wound up losing completely because, of course, the preachers were the bread and butter.
And that would be XERB.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Which became Express.
Right, 1090
Which became
Express.
Soul Express.
Right, 1090.
And I'm not sure when that happened.
Yeah.
When they changed their call letters. But, no, I can't give you any insight about, I don't know that much about Wolfman Jack. Other than, what we all know.
Right.
Probably the most entertaining DJ of his day.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a great act all the way around. But, no, they became Express in 1971.
Oh, okay.
And so that part I knew. But, it was interesting because that was at the point where they forced him out. And that's when they changed it. And as I say, not sure, obviously he ticked someone off because the preachers were absolutely the bread and butter. And what was astounding to me was, before the year was over, I guess around 1972, maybe 73 at the latest, preachers were back.
So. Well, it's a paycheck.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that
right.
And, of course, the mail order stuff. But believe me, the preachers were the big deal about that, and I just never understood what happened there. And I've asked, I ask almost everybody. I practically drag people off the street. Do you know? And nobody seems to know what.
Not only do I not know, I don't know who to point you to that might know.
Right.
I went to the Soul Express building. They actually had offices on. I don't know, I think it was Wilshire Boulevard. They wanted me to comment on something, and whatever my comment was, I think probably ticked them off because I don't think I ever heard from them again.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I tend to speak my mind, and that's not always politically the way to present oneself if you want to have a long-term relationship. Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. Oh, well is right. I'm sure nothing good would have come of it anyway, as far as that goes, because, the gang down there was a little strange. But and, they were not only doing it on XERB, but also XEG. And so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And that was like, now that you mention it, I have some top 40 surveys from the early 70s, and they're from XEG,
uh-huh.
XERB,
right.
And KFOX FM, I think.
Long Beach, yeah.
And maybe it's KDEO and El Centro also. And they all have the same record, same chart position, same everything. And, it's like an artifact. That's another one of them. I collect records, and anybody that collects records at the level I do has to have a lot of paper that goes along with it just to enjoy, looking at the charts and all the ancillary stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
So I have those charts. Sort of interesting. What was the label the Unconquerables were on? I can't think of the... Well, I can look it up. But that label was owned by... It's quite fascinating the number of records that were on the charts that were tied in with DJs on the on that station.
Oh, absolutely.
XEG.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a coincidence.
Right.
Let me do something here. I'm going to try to find out what that label was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to think about, I can't think of any songs I know by the Unconquerables.
There was one song called Wait For Me.
Okay.
Which was, yeah, that's sort of a all-purpose title, isn't it?
Right, yes.
So here we go, in Unconquerables.
Exactly. I know this because it's an I for Unconquerables. I think I might have this record. I think it was a Pink label.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Now, ask me what label. Well, I know it was Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the only one.
Right. Right, yeah.
Oh, I'm having trouble with my computer.
Okay, I can look this up here, and it is... Oh, well, no wonder we don't know it. How the hell would we know this? What? Ready for this label? All I can do is spell it. Flodavier.
Flodavier.
Yeah, Flodavier. What the hell is that? 1964, I know. But, yeah, I just remember it was Pink. Now I know I couldn't pronounce it.
There was a DJ, I think his last name was Cox, C-O-X. And I think that was his label, and all of a sudden, all these Flodavier releases start showing up on the charts. So, yeah, you got it.
I'll be darned.
You have the record?
Yes, I think I do have that record. It's probably worth something, right? I don't know. But...
Yeah, it's worth a lot, particularly on colored vinyl.
Oh no, it's not colored vinyl for sure. Man, I hadn't thought about that. I don't know. I can't name any other. I got to see if there's like a 45 discography for Flodavier. I can't imagine it.
Well, yeah, it's called Wait For Me, The Unconquerables.
Yeah.
Wait For Me and For Your Love on Flodavier 803 for all those number fans.
Yeah, exactly. And, 801, 802, 803. Yeah, right.
Yeah, like there are 800 records.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll be the case.
Yeah. Well, let me see what else is on Flodavier because I know I have some.
Toby Bullard. I don't know, Toby Bullard. And the La Chamba Trio, I don't even want to think about that. The Common People, well, not too common as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, I've just found their discography, and all it lists is the Common People. Oh, that's great. So we know there was more than that. So, yeah. Okay, well, there's an interesting story. I'll have to see what I can dig up, and if you come up with anything, let me know.
Well, here, maybe I can right now.
Okay.
The John Lemon Quintet, the Antelex, and like you said, the Enchambo Trio, their big record was Samongo.
Right. And it came out just before the Incredibles, list-wise, almost. So.
Yeah. Now, the Antelex, Love Slave, is a big record in the Northern Soul scene in the UK.
Really?
I do know that. Yeah, they're hip to Flodavier.
Okay.
You know, you mention that label to anybody in the Northern Soul scene, and you will definitely get a reaction like, let me look at that record, and you turn your head, and you don't own it anymore.
Exactly. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Yes, we will be right back, and we will take your call, including Ken, coming up, so on WGN Radio.
I'll do anything, girl, if you say it.
WGN Radio. There they are, the Inconquerables. That's with an I on Flutterview. Okay. Yeah, I don't know the pink label. 803. Talking with Steve Probst, who is always a joy. You mentioned Facebook. Do you have a page on Facebook?
I have a page on Facebook, and boy, I wish I knew. Let me see here. There's my face. That must be me.
Ah.
It's facebook.com/rockingwithag Steve, all one word.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Hey, so anyway, let me explore the Flow DeVere story a little bit further, because I got to make a correction or two. Which is not unusual for me.
But by the way, I want to hear about it, but I found some stuff online, too, and I've never heard of Dave Polk.
Yeah, it's Dave Polk. He had his picture on the XEG.
Okay.
The Toby Bullard that you mentioned,
yeah,
was never, there was never a Toby Bullard. There was somebody... booted the lyrics on GNP Crescendo, retitled it, and made it sound like it was an acetate that had been discovered and put on a fake Flow DeVere label. So that's the correction.
Let me say that I came across that, too, with a lot of different threads, and there are people who are clearly disputing it. I can't imagine why, but oh no, it's an alternate take. It really is, but no, I'm with you, by the way.
I'm not representing either side. It's just what I found.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, because it was a one-sided release. And here we go. Toby Bullard refers, his title was So Glad I'm in Love, No Flip Side. And the lyrics was So Glad on GNP Crescendo.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody, they attributed it to the Las Vegas record collector mafia.
Oh, right.
Now, who? You tell me who they are.
Yeah.
But it became, I can think of one major bootlegger that flooded the Northern Soul scene with bootlegs, and I'm not going to give his, I'll give his initials, SS.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm referring to? I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think so, but yes, tell me off the air sometime.
Yeah, and bootlegs were a big part of that scene. Regular record buyers couldn't afford some of the prices, so the market was sort of flooded with boots. Anyway, I think that's the only time that record probably has ever been played on the air.
I think you're right. as far as that goes. And you know,
it's a decent record. It's a good record.
It is not bad. And the other side isn't either. Wait for Me, which you mentioned. I don't know why I have it. So probably one of those things that was just in a group of records that I got. But you mentioned GNP Crescendo, of course. That was a disc jockey too. That was Gene Norman and
yep.
his little label. But I swear I don't know Dave Polk. And you mentioned he was on XEG, and I believe you, but I don't know. I wonder who he was.
Yeah, don't know anything about his background other than that was his label, and his label tended to get played a lot on that station. Here's another little item that I learned from, I'm going to not name the person, who consulted with Art LeBeau. And come to find out, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was throughout his career, but towards the end, Art LeBeau seemed to have a penchant for records that he had a piece of.
Oh, of course.
Those are the records that you would hear in heavy rotation on his various, I'll send this out to Sleepy at Chino.
Right.
That show. You know, Art LeBeau took care of Art LeBeau as far as
always.
You know, plays are concerned. Yeah, okay. And, no surprise to you.
Well, no, and of course, the Calico stuff. So you knew there was a lot of Skyliners as far as that goes.
Yeah, you're right.
So, in fact, I
have a letter from Joe Rock to Art, sort of a business proposition type letter. I don't know where I got it, but I have a copy. I think I have the original. Now, wow. Why would I have the original of a Joe Rock letter sent to Art LeBeau about the Skyliners?
Right. Exactly. That's interesting, though. That's a keepsake. It's like, I don't know if mine's an original, but I have the letter from Sears repossessing, what was his name, Richie Valens's guitar after he died.
Man.
So, yeah.
We could start the Who Wrote These Letters type museum.
Right, exactly. But, you know, Art, of course, not only is it not surprising, but Art was the quintessential businessman. I never really looked at him as somebody who particularly knew or loved the music. He always had people around him who knew it. But as far as himself, I don't know that I'd go there. And I think that's why there was some animosity with Huggy Boy, because, of course, Huggy was the real deal. But Huggy was anything but a businessman. So,
yeah.
You know, you knew how that went. But Art
Paul
was...
Paulides,
yeah, Art...
Paul Paulides took care of the music part for Art.
Yeah, well, then, right. And even over the years, like when he had the KRLA stuff, different people. Good old Sherman Cohen for a while. You know, it was everybody. But it wasn't Art. It was the bottom line.
I was told that when Art had the station, that would have been about the mid-60s, he discouraged the Beatles from being played on in rotation. And I think... Monkeys came along later.
Well, you know, for good reason when you think about this, because, of course, you know, the Beatles killed KFWB because the jocks were too old and they made fun of them. And so here comes KRLA that doesn't have a license, you know, the Oak Knoll Foundation's running it at that point. And they pretty much go all British invasion, you know, and they literally, I think, thought that's what helped them. And so by the time Art came in, I could see him saying, you know, we're getting away from this British invasion.
Now, what year would he have taken over the station?
God, you know, mid-60s is all I can tell you, and that's terrible.
So how does that play into their all-request format?
That came later.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was 66.
Yeah, okay.
That was 66, because the Monkees dominated the top five on one KRLA chart. Half the records weren't even singles. You know, they were LP requests.
Now...
I sort of think that was the beginning and end of the all-request format, because it was the Monkees dominated it way too much, and they're sort of an acquired taste.
Well, no, that's interesting, because I remember that he returned... to KRLA in 76. And that's when he became part owner. You know, I mean, they needed him. And that's when he did very well with it. And, of course, when it was finally in 1980, a license was finally decided and Bob Hope's group ran it, they didn't understand why Art was successful. But I think the first time Art was on KRLA was the 50s, when it was still KXLA.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, barely out of country music.
Yeah.
Picking up his show, you know, in the early days when he was at the drive, what was the name? Was it
Scribner's? Scribner's Drive-In, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a list of records that he would have available to play on the air, and he would call them oldies, like, you know, I think there was a Little Walter record on the list. And he would hand it to people that were giving out the dedications and told them off air, when you go on air, dedicate one of these records, because, you know, basically that's all he had. And that's how that's sort of the genesis of the, you know, radio survey industry, in L.A. at least.
Yeah.
I trace radio station charts back to the 1940s, and there's some surprises on them. You know, stations that you wouldn't think would be playing an R&B record, now and again R&B record would show up.
Well, that's interesting with the 40s, because that's probably right after the big musician strike and the creation of BMI and all those different things. So probably the first time radio had full-time music formats.
I think it was out of all places, out of the Spokane, Boise.
Okay.
Area. Those are some of the real early, you know, and that's sort of a rural America type situation. So, you know, I mean, I've actually done research on some of this, like, as if anybody cared.
Oh, no, I disagree. And if you and people like you, who are few and far between these days, don't do that, this will die with us.
Yeah.
So I think this is very important.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's of interest to me. You know, I like finding the first time something happened.
Absolutely.
The first 45.
Here, hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Yeah, okay.
I realize. Time to pay bills. And, because I got a couple breaks this hour, and Adam will die. So that's it on WGN Radio.
Sea Crane?
Oh, no. In fact, it's still my turn. Thank you, Adam. The Sea Crane Company. But I love talking about them. Talking about the CC radio solar with Bluetooth this week. And this is the quintessential emergency radio. I think most emergency radios fall short. Oh, they might have the weather band and the weather alert, and they might have more than that. But what they usually don't have is anything other than batteries, right? And, here's the emergency. Your batteries are dead. What do you do then? Yeah, it powers out. Batteries are dead. And maybe you have a solar power deal, but it hadn't been in the windowsill. What are you going to do? Well, with the CC Radio Solar, you've got yet another choice. It's a wind-up emergency radio. That's right. You hand crank it for about 30 seconds. It's going to play for 30 minutes. And when I say hand crank, it's a little crank in the back. And this radio looks neat. It's about the size of a brick and is a clean, modern digital design. It's got digital presets and a clock, alarm, a timer, so all of the things you would expect. But more than that, with that hand crank, you will never be without radio in any emergency. And by the way, it's an oversized solar panel, so if you were smart enough to keep it in the sun, that's going to do you for quite a while, too. Now, not only that, but you can probably charge your cell phone. Now, not to surf the net or make a lot of calls, but that one emergency call, you'll get enough power to do that, which is really nice. And of course, like every radio that Bob Crane developed, it has excellent AM and FM reception. So, it even doubles as a Bluetooth speaker for your favorite radio shows. That tells you how good it sounds. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. If you can't go online, you can give them a call. They'll answer all your questions, and you can order by phone, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. You tell them, Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Listen to this. Here's something I want to tell you now. Darling, why I'm crawling through this muddy water. A thought come running to my mind that you're playing with every guy in town. But I want to tell you something. Darling, I know it's going to be hard for you to resist the temptation of Tom, Dick, and Harry. But you see, I'm gonna have to resist the temptation of Mary Holiday School. Darling, oh, darling, darling, there's just one thing.
More Inconquerables on Flutterbeer. Man, we're trying to Steve Probst, and this is a real find because I've never thought about any of this. And that guy's actually pretty good on Wait For Me. Do we have any idea who they are?
Not a clue. Maybe he came back from Vietnam and that was on his mind. That's the best I can do. Of course, it's early for Vietnam. It's late 60s. It isn't early 70s.
It's actually, like 67, I think, or 64, the original release.
I'm not sure it's that early, but...
Okay, 67. Then. And which would make more sense of why I probably haven't. But, I know it was written by Nathaniel Jarman, and if you know who that is, you're doing better than me.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody knows. But where were we? talking about radio.
And we were talking about art. Audible, yeah, right, exactly.
KRLA. Now, when did KRLA go all talk or sports or whatever the heck they went? What year was that?
Oh, this is somewhere in the 80s. I'm long gone by then.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the time period because Huggy Boy was the last person on KRLA. I think for the most part, the better known DJs had left. He was the only one that had any kind of numbers.
You know, I think this could have been late 98, believe it or not.
Wow.
And then there was that swap, the call letters wound up on 870, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, but Dick Sinclair Station.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the story of KRLA, of course, because here it was unlicensed from 62 till finally the FCC awarded it to 11 different groups, and it was headed by Bob Hope's group. How much they misunderstood why that radio station worked. I mean, they couldn't get away from the East L.A. and the requests and dedications and the, you know, people used to laugh, half oldie, half disco, that's a joke, but they didn't understand it's not a joke in the East L.A. community. And they actually took a station that was viable and tubed it.
Yeah. Well, they weren't the first and certainly not the last,
no.
Particularly these days when all these stations are disappearing, you know, stations that were, you know, once trademark the represented an entire community.
Right.
Like I'm on a couple of radio chat groups, and people are lamenting the end of the Apple Valley AM signal, KAVL.
Right.
I think.
So. Absolutely, and that's it. End of the signal is right. We're not talking about format changes. We're talking about off the air, and it is sad all the way around. And you know, it's hard to believe that we've gone through an hour. And really all we've talked about is Floativir, but it's been fun. I liked it. So we have to do this again soon and pick it up there.
Well, I'm for it, so anytime.
Okay.
Give me a buzz.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Steve. All right, Steve.
Thank you, Raleigh. Good night.
And so now we know about the Facebook page, and I will put a link on Raleigh.net directly to the Facebook page so you can peruse it and communicate with Steve yourself. But you have a chance to communicate with him when he joins us again, hopefully soon. And apologies to Ken. We didn't see a hog, Steve, all hour. Well, hell, I enjoyed it. I hope you did, too. We've got another 2 hours, and whatever is on your mind will be on mine. And who knows, you might even hear another Floativir song coming up on WGN Radio.
Here comes heaven, all satin and lace. Love in her heart and a smile on her face. She's the world to me. Heaven is all my heart can see. Here comes heaven with soft golden hair, laughing blue eyes that tell me she cares. She's my night, my day. Heaven is just a kiss away. I was so lonely till she took my hand. She lifted my eyes and she made me understand. Here comes heaven, like spring soft and warm. I'd give my life to keep her from harm. She makes my
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's the Eddie Arnold version. Closest to a hit this song ever got, 1967 on RCA. Here Comes Heaven, and that was Ruth and Gurney who requested we play his version of it. Played the Hardin Trio the other night, which came out a year later, and there was Eddie's take on it. All right, 888-876-5593 takes us to Kimberly in Dalton. What's up, Kimberly?
I get to finish the question from last night.
Okay.
You know, recently things pop up. It popped up at Christmas, some beautiful music, and it pops up lately to me like 50s love song. And then there's a beautiful song called Do You Remember? And then it's a thing called Melody in Sepia. I didn't seek it out. I just pushed the song because it popped up, I guess, because I listen to music. So, but you can't find out like who does the song or who writes the song. Is what kind of, do you know what kind of thing that is?
Melody in Sepia. All right, that is the artist, I think. I've seen that actually. And where did I? It was like, I don't know. It was a radio drama, I think, more than anything, if I'm not mistaken. Oh. That Melody in Sepia. Let me look this up because I'm pretty sure that was a radio show. So let's see.
Oh.
And let's see if I'm right. I don't know. Melody in Sepia. No, let's see. What is this? All right. I don't know what this is.
I thought it's almost kind of like a thing of like the YouTube or something.
It's got a YouTube channel. And okay, I have no idea. It's a digital music curator and content creator best known for nostalgic cinematic playlists and relaxing streams dedicated to the 1950s and early 60s. The brand specializes in creating a cozy retro atmosphere. Listeners often tune in to evoke the feeling of being in a classic radio drama. Probably that's why I thought of it. A neon-lit 1950s diner or quiet evening. The audio features a mix of beautifully restored original tracks and thematic romantic medleys. They have a number of compilations they put there, and you can actually be listening online all you want on YouTube. Melody in Sepia. It is a...
So you can't find...
It is a YouTube
channel.
You can't
find out
if they play something, chances are good that somebody recorded it. So what song in particular are you trying to find?
It's a beautiful song. My mom reminisced. It was like her and my dad starting out in the 50s. Called Do You Remember? Nothing to do with Phil Collins.
right, of course.
Do you remember? It's a beautiful song, kind of reminiscent of the one you just played, in a way. It's a beautiful song.
Not Phil Collins. I've got it here from Melody in Sepia, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the song or if that's the playlist. Well, here it is. Do You Remember 1950, A Quiet Story of Us? I have utterly no idea what this is, but it's online, and you certainly can hear it or download it for yourself, really, if you know how to do that. And Do You Remember is the opening on that. Let me put that on a computer where actually we could hear it. Wait a minute. That's pretty weird. I absolutely don't know. Fascinating. So,
no, because my mom asked me if I could find it, like to get a CD, and like, I couldn't figure out that you apparently can't separate it or anything. I have no idea.
let's find out what we get here, and let's hear it. I have no idea. Here it is.
Okay.
Supposedly.
A dime, and you holding my hand. The streets were cold, the sky was gray, but honey, you just smiled and chased the clouds.
All right, that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Here's the problem. Melody in Sepia is a project. And that song, Do You Remember, was written by a South Korean singer and songwriter, Hyomni Yi. And that's his name. And I don't know that Hyomni Yi actually recorded it for anything other than this, perhaps. But I'm trying to look him up to see if I can find it under his name. Let's see. Yi. All right. Let's see what we got. He's done a lot for Melody in Sepia. Who knows? Maybe he is the force behind Melody in Sepia. I don't know.
It's a beautiful song. If you get a chance to listen to the whole thing, it's really a
no, I'll be honest with you. Happy to play it for you. Not my stuff. I listened to the first part of it. Now, it could have grabbed me, but it didn't. But that's on volume 61 of Melody in Sepia.
All right.
But this is fascinating. I'm glad you brought this up because I am absolutely clueless, and you can bet. Okay, so I just looked him up. Hyomni Yi is the driving force behind the project Melody in Sepia. He's the primary creative engine. He handles songwriting, composition, and production, as well as providing the vocals. There's a ton of stuff. And this was on volume 61, and there's like 20 songs. So he's behind it. So I would say, you can rip them from online, I guess, but we'll find out if any of this is available, on media. I wouldn't think it's on CD, but I'll look.
Okay, well, thank you, Rod.
Oh, sure.
If anybody can figure me out, you can.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I'm always indebted to people who will take the level of time and interest that this guy does, because, I mean, this is volume 61, and there's like a dozen songs or more on each volume. So, I'm going to say for download, I doubt it would be C or CD, but I don't think it's going to be on physical. It's available as a digital release for streaming and purchase. It's primarily digital, meaning there's no widespread physical CD to buy.
Oh, okay.
So you could download it digitally if you want it, but I'll see what I can do to get this to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. All right.
Good morning to you.
No problem. All right, so that shouldn't be hard. I've never heard of it, but isn't that interesting? Melody in Sepia. All right, yeah. Wow. Well, good deal. Love to learn stuff like that. Fran is in Austin. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's up tonight, Fran?
I was going to, first of all, I was going to tell a couple of little found money stories.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I was on a bus one time. And I, kind of put my hand kind of in the, on the seat next to me, that kind of thing, how you do. And there was this bill, and it was all, old-looking and crumply and things. And I thought, oh, cool, I found a dollar, So I came home, and I told my ex-husband, who can see, I said, I found a dollar. And he said, oh, let me see if it's a dollar or what you got here. He said, it's a $50 bill.
Wow.
And, we were struggling at that time. He was out of work, and I just had a part-time job at Sears, and, so things were kind of rough, and I thought, well, there's no way that I can get it. How can I find the person that left a
I can
see myself getting on the bus. Because has anybody seen this $50?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, everybody would be.
Exactly. No, sadly, there's no way you could have, quote-unquote, done the right thing. The right thing was to keep the money.
Yeah, and so I just, I figured, well, because, I mean, it was just at a time where we really needed it. We basically were living on cold cereal.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, oh my God, now I can buy some groceries. This is just, and that was when $50 went a lot further.
Exactly. No, that absolutely. No, that was one of those divine things that you just look heavenly and thank you, Jesus, and you're done with it.
Yeah, really. I mean, so, and then another time with Gary and I, we went to a store and bought some things and, got some money back, and we came home. and we didn't think about it. And it was a couple hours later, and we were counting the money, and we figured out somehow that we had gotten an extra 20.
Wow.
And so, you know, we thought, well, what are we going to do? Because by then it was later at night, and we remembered that the cashier that we had, it was her first day, and I thought, oh, my God, her first day, she's going to come up $20 short, you know, and we have to find some way to get this back to the store. So Gary goes back to the store. It's about, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know, the store is almost closing. But he winds up getting there. But the thing that was weird was, like, he went and he said, you know, we were overpaid and, you know, I want to return this. And the store manager was acting like he was crazy or something. You know, it was like, what? You want to return it? What? You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was so shocked that we were returning the money, and that's sad. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, that would be very rare.
Yeah, and, you know, we thought, well, that's just what you do, especially.
Right.
We didn't want that poor woman, you know, losing her job. She was just a young kid. I didn't know, you know, just like, well, she's got probably, you know, maybe she's got a child to support, or, you know, maybe she's, help, you know, whatever. We didn't want her to get written up for that.
Right.
And
and who knows at the end of the night how they have to reconcile and all that, you know.
Yeah. But the thing that really got us was the manager's reaction.
Yeah.
Was kind of like, what? You know, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say that, it was just, you know, kind of his reaction was kind of like, you came down here to do
right.
But
right.
I hope that poor cashier got, you know, that, you know, was reconciled with her register, because I know when I used to work at Carl's Jr., it was terrible because I didn't have, in those days, the only bill readers they had, you had to have a nice, crispy bill.
Uh-huh.
You know, who's got those?
Right.
You know? And so, I mean, there were a lot of people who would give me, one time somebody gave me a dollar bill and I gave them back change. They told me it was a 20 and I gave them back change for a 20.
Oh, jeez.
My boss said, you know, I can't, I know why it happened. I understand, but I have to write you up.
Right.
And I said, no, I get that, you know, it happened twice in 1 month, and three times in 1 month I could have lost my job.
Right.
And fortunately it didn't happen again in the same month, but what I had to do was anytime anybody gave me a 20 or, you know, or over, I had to confirm it with the
someone else,
woman,
yeah,
on the register next,
right,
to me.
Absolutely.
And some people got really incensed, you know. Why wouldn't she? Why would you? And I said, it's not you. It's other people.
Right.
I said, it's nothing. It's not personal. I'm not, you know, aiming this at you. I said, I have had people do that. And, you know, so I have to protect myself, because if it happens too many times, I'll lose my job.
Right.
Even, you know, and some people were just incensed that somebody would do that.
Oh.
But, you know.
Those are probably the people that most likely to give you a dollar. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just, I hated that job. I really hated that job. People are so rude to fast food.
Oh, yeah.
Employees, and sometimes I understand why, but it's not as easy, you know. People kind of put down jobs like that. You want fries with that, you know, but it takes, you got to work your patootie off.
Yeah.
Doing that. I couldn't, unfortunately, I was under some program where all I could do was the cash register. I couldn't even, you know, Like, right. The pastry case was right next to me, but I could not get the pastries out.
Right.
Even though I could have put on gloves and told what they were and all that, I was not allowed to do that.
Right.
You know, it was, but I had some revenge on the last day I was working there, because this guy came in, he was always coming in, and he was very demanding. Give me this, give me that, never please, never thank you, never, you know, anything like that. And there was always something wrong with whatever he got. And so my last day of working there, he comes in and says, you know, give me this and that. And I said, what's the magic word?
Oh, I love this.
And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you know it. What's the magic word? Starts with a P.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, he said something else. He said, I don't like your attitude. And I said, and he said, I'm going to report you to your boss. And I said, that's okay. Go ahead. It's my last day, and I don't have to deal with assholes like you anymore. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. People like you anymore. Sorry about that, Raleigh.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
I hope somebody's on master control there.
No,
that
no.
Got that.
I think that's an acceptable word. Actually.
Oh, is it?
Anymore, I don't either. I think the George Carlin 7 are probably the only things that will do you.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them other than the George Carlin 7, but...
No, I think that may be the entire list of what would actually be obscene to the FCC. But anyway, no, sadly, that is not. However, it'll be obscene if I don't play some commercials right about this minute. So I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Going. Appreciate it. So here we go on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Neil Hefti. Got a request for that. I love Girl Talk as far as that goes, but who was it who requested it? The original Neil Hefti from the 1965 Joseph E. Levine movie Harlow. But someone said, play the original, and I did, and now I don't remember. Maybe it was Brian and Seneca. I'm not sure. Anyway, there it is, regardless of who wanted it. All right, now, before we do anything else, I think we're going to find out a little more about this project, this music project, from Isaac in Chicago. So welcome back to WGN Radio. Isaac, what do you know?
Hi, Raleigh. That was AI that what is it called? The... Symphony, Melody.
Melody and Sepia, yeah.
Yeah. After I kind of looked it up, everything was made in 2005. I mean, I'm sorry, 2025 to 2026. Okay. When you played it, I don't really know how to describe when I hear the AI sound, but it's almost like there's like a shaking or a timbre in the, like, they can only go so high, like a natural human voice goes much higher than that. I can't really explain it, but when I heard it, I was almost certain it was AI. And then I went to look it up, and the videos that you guys were referring to, They are, not the videos, but the pictures that are shown are all AI,
yeah.
And there's no information about the artist. You know, if it, even the artist that you named, do you remember what the name was?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yiyu is his last name, but now I'm trying to think of how to pronounce his first name, but he's a South Korean guy, and I can't say it. I can spell it. Let me write it out.
Okay. Either way, I'm not sure if that's a real person or not. You know, he could have been the one to make the sepia in the melodies in sepia. Or sometimes for like the Motown AI, they'll just come up with a fake name that will sound like it. You know, it'll be like something really, you know, like a no, I mean, I'm black, but it'll sound just like an old black lady's name from, like, you know, the 60s that you wouldn't hear or you've never heard before. And then they'll be like, you know, this is songs from the Leaves or the you know, the Greens or something like that, as if they were a band.
That's really interesting. That is,
yeah,
interesting.
And so there is a artist, I've forgotten his name at this point. He's an actual artist. He's a trumpeteer, a trumpeter.
Okay.
And so he has a song, and I found it because, you know, I was scrolling through and I heard this song and it was really good. I thought, they said that this is his song and it's now with lyrics. And so I'm like, okay, well, I listened to it. And after I looked it up, the trumpeter is real, but they have put a fake AI voice with these fake lyrics to his songs. So that's really common now.
I am on your wavelength on this because,
yeah,
you know, it makes all the sense in the world that this is a made-up name as well, for a lot of reasons, but
when,
just the volume. But
when,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I heard the song, you know, I could see, like, glimmers of this is going to be great, but it just wasn't. That's why, you know, I said to Kimberly, nope, not my stuff, you know, because it just misses for me. But I think you're right. Now, this is going to be fascinating. How do we find out who's really behind this?
I'm not sure, but you can. There are websites that you can put the song, you know, you put the link into the website and it'll tell you how much AI is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
this song seems to be 95% AI. This song seems to be,
right,
you know, 50% AI or something like that. Also, I think that's also a good point that you add, how it sounds like it's going to be a good song, because they're taking music. I'm going to use the Motown. They're taking music that's already made. This is music that is already popular, and they're taking bits and parts from it and putting it together into lyrics that, you know, artists are always like, wow, that was really good. I should have written that. But it's that someone else, I mean, not someone else, the computer is taking parts that are already good, that are already,
right,
you
right,
know, hits, and putting it together. So, of course, it sounds good to your eye, but it just doesn't hit because it's not, I say,
right,
it's not made by a human ear, so they can't, you know, they can't,
yeah,
say what the public's going to like and stuff like that.
Well,
but,
right,
yeah.
And you can't really concoct a song through a series of hooks from other songs and think that,
right,
it's going to work,
right,
together. That it sounds,
exactly,
like they're going,
yeah,
they're going for hooks. But now it's interesting, as I look this up, and we just don't know because, of course, there's so much bad information online. My God!
Mm-hmm.
But it claims that there is a South Korean musician and composer, female, Hayanimi Yi. I can't find anything about it independently of melody and sepia.
Okay.
So I'm not buying it.
And that was one other thing. They were saying that they set out to make music that was popular in Japan in the 40s and 50s, from what I was reading online. So, so like I was saying with the Motown, that's their thing in melody and sepia, is that they're taking not even necessarily American music, but just music that was popular in to give it that sound, to give it that that idea. I guess they're using, you know, English lyrics, but yeah.
Okay, here's the best part so far. On I love Google AI because it is so off the mark so often, it does make me laugh. When I'm otherwise not in a good mood, I can just go to Google AI and I'm going to laugh if I ask anything about, say, obscure R&B or soul or whatever. But so I just decide I'll ask AI about Hayanomi Yee. And here we go, is a singer, songwriter, and producer known for her frequent releases with the musical project Melody in Sepia. She's actively involved in the creation of her tracks, taking on roles in vocals, composition, lyrics, and audio engineering. There's a picture next to this. The picture is of a quite striking young lass with blonde hair and blue eyes. And said, something went wrong with this response. No kidding. The picture I'm looking at, unless she adopted the name Hayanomi Yee later in life, this girl looks more like, you know, Susan Smith or somebody. So
Is it of a real person or can you tell it?
Well, that's an interesting thing. I think it is a real person, but, but it's probably just something pulled from the internet, like someone's Facebook page or something.
Yeah, I have an uncle. He was a prosecutor, and he's since retired. But he posts on Facebook. I'm talking about, this was recent. They had an AI image of Obama saying that President Obama, or you know, Barack Obama, was opening an animal shelter for stray dogs on the south side of Chicago. And my uncle, who went to law school, had been tricked by it, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so happy that Obama's doing this for the stray dog." And I'm like, "We had to call him. His comments were full of, no, this is not true. This is not true." But it's getting people. It's getting people.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have been victim of it, you know, victim to it as well. So
no,
it's
scary as hell. And, you know, we're looking at it on a music project. Who the hell cares? But no, in terms of fraud, this is really serious. Today in the mail, I got yet another Medicare card number. And, you know, it's like, how many times are we going to go through this? And exactly what kind of fraud is this? And they don't give you real specifics or anything. But, you know, I think that we're at the verge of really bad things happening with online entities. And I worry, especially since all our money is online. I don't care what bank you're dealing with. And on and on. But yeah, AI, I love when the news always talks about how much water these data centers are going to use. I'm like, that's the least of your worries.
Riley, I don't know if you played any of my songs that I, I haven't been listening. I haven't, I've been completely busy, bogged down with a bunch of stuff. But can I move on to request another song?
Well, let's see. Yes, I think I did, because I don't see your name here means I absolutely played them, because as soon as I play them, I take the names off there. So what do you want?
Okay. Can I hear, I think her name is Jean Carney. Don't Let It Go to Your Head.
Okay.
Boy.
Don't Let It Go to Your Head. All right.
Yeah. I think your last name is C-A-R-N-E.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you know anything about I Love When You Give the Backstories, I was surprised, no offense if she's listening, but I was surprised that she is still living. She's not as old from when I was looking, you know, at her videos from the 70s. She gives, you know, old maiden looking old lady. But then I'm like, wow, she's only, you know, she might have been in her 20s when those videos were recorded. So any backstory that you can give, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, she was born in 1947.
Okay. All right.
So she's not, you know, she'll be 80 next year.
Okay, okay, okay.
Not
as young as I thought.
And it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned C-A-R-N-E, yes, but on some releases it's C-A-R-N. It's not, her name actually was Sarah Jean Perkins. And so she grew up in Atlanta and went to school there. But she was married to Doug Karn, and there's no E in Karn for Doug Karn. He was a jazz pianist. So, but on some of her songs, because Gamble and Huff, when they started Philadelphia International, they signed her. And so, and I think they signed her. I think where that's the E started to come in. But
And that's just to set her apart?
I don't know. Just who knows? I've got the 45s. I'll pull some of those. And Don't Let It Go to Your Head. Pretty Baby. Yes, absolutely. I'll play that.
Okay, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we've got, yes, real live people, no AI callers, Karen and Ruth and Linda and Chris and you too. There's one line available for you if you want it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Thought I'd play that since Isaac is listening now. We're not sure when I'll be listening again, so there it is. And on that one, Philadelphia International, it is C-A-R-N, like her husband's name at the time. On her one Motown release, it was also C-A-R-N. But after that, around 82, 83, that's when suddenly an E starts appearing in Carn, C-A-R-N-E. And yeah, Omni for sure, they had her with an E. And that'd be mid-80s. And so there you have it. So I don't know why. For whatever reason. Maybe it was like when Dionne Warwick added the E briefly because it was astrological or numerological and didn't work out. She didn't do well at all. Some psychic told her to do that. Whatever it was, she dumped that E in short order. So that's the deal there. But when I first Don't Let It Go to Your Head, I said, oh, man, it's the same thing that Jay and the Techniques did around the same time, actually. Wrong record. That was Joe Renzetti. Liked it. I think it was on the Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie album, but I'm not sure. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And Linda in Richland Park. Linda, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel real good. You know, I really do. I decided to call tonight. You know, Joe, what is his name? He passed away.
Who?
I'm trying to think now. I've been listening to you guys, and I forgot Joe Simon. Yeah, Joe Simon.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He made the song Patches.
Made a lot of things.
He made the Choking Kind,
yeah.
And he also made, what's this other song that he made? I'm trying to think of it. Quite a few songs. Stretch My Back, yeah.
He had a number of things. My favorite actually was a little record called When that nobody ever plays. But, maybe I'll play that. But, yeah, he was around and for quite a while, obviously. But he's been dead. I thought he died like about 5 years ago.
That's been on the radio. Joe Simon just passed away.
Joe Simon died on, I'm pretty sure it was like December of 2021. Are you sure? All right. Joe Simon, huh?
Who made the song Patches?
Clarence Carter.
Patches, I'm depending
on... Clarence Carter.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Clarence Carter.
Yeah, well,
he just passed away.
Well, yeah, on the 13th. It's been about 10 days. Hang on, we'll talk after the news. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely, yes, Clarence Carter, you betcha. That was about, 10 days ago now, or thereabouts. Coming up on WGN Radio, we will talk to you, and I'm talking to myself because the news is on.
Then if I'm in love with someone, I must wait until there'll come one boy who'll know the answer when I ask. Ooh, stole my heart away. Ooh, makes me dream all day. Dreams I know can never come true. Seems as though I'll ever be blue. Means my happiness too. Would I answer yes to? Well, you ought to guess who. No one but you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Judy Garland, who is from a 1946 movie, Till the Clouds Roll By, and Billy Bob in Thornton wanted to hear that. Now he has. Well, if he's listening, that is. All right, so we're talking to Linda in Richland Park. Sorry about that, Linda. Where were we?
We were talking about Clarence Carter,
Carter, absolutely, yes. So, yes, absolutely not,
right.
Not Joe Simon, but Clarence Carter.
Not just them.
So, wait a minute.
I'm sitting here thinking.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, as you probably know, on the internet, on places like Facebook and all that, very often they have obits for people who've been dead for years. And you look at this and you say, wait a minute. I know they continue to be dead. What seems to be the problem? So, yeah.
Now, I was just thinking about a lot of blues singers and stuff, but Clarence Carter made some good songs. I thought I was going to call you and ask you maybe you could play a couple of them, you know, for me.
Okay.
And, you know, he was born blind, I understand.
Yes, absolutely. And he was from Montgomery, Alabama, but he recorded it in Muscle Shoals. He recorded a lot of stuff at Fame and, legitimate labels as well, but a number of things. And, of course, when he got to Atlantic, Slip Away and Too Weak to Fight, and, of course, Backdoor Santa, gotta love that, and everything else, Snatching It Back, and, yeah. So, and of course,
he had a lot of... Made a lot of good songs.
Yeah, and of course, Patches.
I thought about it. Yeah, I said I was going to call you and ask you to play a couple of them, and then I wanted you to also play a couple of other blues songs that I like The Turning Point by Johnny Taylor.
Okay.
The Turning Point of My Life, and I also like These Last Few Dollars. I don't know who sang that song, though.
Not sure I do either.
It said, The Last Few Dollars, Put My Money in the Jukebox, Play Me Some Down Home Blues or something like that. That's the lyrics of it.
Huh.
It might be the name of it, Down Home Blues. I don't know. I always know that it's these last few dollars.
Okay.
So these last few dollars,
I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure this is ZZ Hill, and I loved ZZ Hill. I think it's I think the song is just Down Home Blues, but there also there also is a song Last $2 that Johnny Taylor did. So and I'll I'll bet you that's the one you're talking about it, because that's where he talks. One's for the bus fare and the other's for the jukebox. I'm pretty sure it's it's that Johnny Taylor. And last $2. Yes, Johnny Taylor. Let me, and absolutely.
And he made the Turning Point also, didn't he?
Yeah, wait,
The Turning Point in My Life.
Yeah.
That was Johnny Taylor, I think.
Yeah. I think so too. I'm saying, let me see if I had it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I've got both of those. And but are you when I think of Turning Point, I'm looking for it, but what's coming up immediately that I've got is Tyrone Davis. So
All right, that's probably who it is, Tyrone Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got that by Tyrone Davis. You betcha I do.
Then I like for you to play Patches, The Choking Kind, and Stretch My Back. And then Tyrone Davis.
By the way, I didn't know that Clarence Carter did Scratch My Back. I thought that was just Slim Harpo. Did Clarence Carter do it too?
I thought he did.
Stretch
My Back. Maybe check it out. I think he made it because my son used to love that song.
Yes, it's a different song. Okay, he did. He absolutely did. All right.
My son used to love it. He's Mama, it's Clarence Carter. Listen, he's playing Stretch My Back.
Yeah, and Mumble in My Ear. Yeah, that's a different song than the Slim Harpo song. Sure, okay.
Right, but those are some good blues songs. I like blues music also, you know, so.
Yeah, all right.
I was just thinking about it. I said, well, maybe I can get Rowdy to play a couple of those songs that I like, you know.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate it that you do, and take your time to listen to me. I be trying to think. There's so much stuff on my plate now, until it's not even funny.
Now, have you been back to Florida?
No, they pushed my date back to July 18th. I was so angry.
Yeah.
I was so angry because my niece, she waited up until last week and cancel out. She decided she couldn't go because all her kids was coming home from college, and she was giving her mother a birthday party, and she was doing this, doing that. So you should have let me know before now.
Right.
So I could have got someone else to ride with me up there. So I had to cancel out and reschedule, and they gave me a date of the 18th of July 18th.
Okay.
But I do have an appointment with the Lighthouse, Chicago's Lighthouse.
Good.
They're going to test my eyes to see what they can do for me and if they can make me some glasses.
Well, that'd be great.
Yes, I'm hoping I can come out with some glasses. They wrote me a prescription once before. And like I said, when I was in Florida, Dr. Greenspan did say that there's a possibility I can get my sight back. I can see some things, you know, and then again, other times I can't see hardly nothing. I'd be stumbling into the wall. I said, but I'm not going to let it upset me either way it go, you know, because I'm not going to get out of shape because of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, your attitude's great on this.
Yeah, I said, I'm not going to get out of shape. You know, I thought about it, and I don't know. I have a lot of dreams all the time. I don't know why I have dreams. I have dreams at night. I said maybe that's because of my eyes, you know. I don't know. But in my dreams, I can see really good. It's good daylight and everything is all great and dandy. Then I wake up and everything's dark.
Right, exactly. But that's a good sign. Your brain wants to see, and hopefully it will.
Yeah, well, you know, I keep taking that Prevagen. My sister and I, we said they have it in regular strength and extra strength.
Wow.
I'm getting old now, so I better start taking this Prevagen. And also I take that turmeric. Yeah, they said turmeric is good for the brain.
Yeah.
Keep everything going well, you know.
Good.
So I said, well, I'll do these things, and I take a lot of supplements also, you know.
Yeah. Well, good.
So I just don't take any supplements. I do have a lady, herbologist. I don't know if you ever heard of her, Dr. Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty good with all her. She went to all kind of schools for the study herbs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I do take a lot of her stuff, too.
Good.
But I feel real good. You know, I feel like I could do a line dance. I feel I could just do everything. The only thing I can't do is see.
Right.
Some days I walk into the bathroom door because it's a sliding bathroom door. So it'll be halfway open, and I'll bump my head. Lord, there I go again. I have to take some little glasses or some goggles or something to protect my eyes.
Yeah.
But I'm doing pretty good. I listen to your show every night. I love listening to your show.
Well, it's always and good I like from you.
Yeah, I like the music, Billy Bob. I like the music he be requesting.
All right.
It's just some pretty good soul music, you know.
Yeah.
And I like that guy that, the Chinese, I think he's Chinese. I can't think of his name now.
Japanese, Naoto?
Yeah.
Japanese.
I like listening to him also.
Good.
So, but I love your show, and I want you to continue on with it. And even though I don't be calling in, I'll be listening real good. I'll be listening.
Well, great. Mm-hmm. And you will hear all your requests, I promise.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
And I thank you so much for being so kind and listening to us blind people.
Oh, no.
We need someone like you to keep us going. I'll be listening to Rowdy. That's Rowdy's busy. She don't ever sit down. She don't let no grass grow under her feet at all. She be getting it. Ain't nothing wrong with Riley. I like her.
Right.
I told my sister said, oh, that's too late of the show for me. I can't watch no listen to no show that late. But my other friend, she loves your show. She listens to
too
also. Kimberly. Wow. All right, well, I'm going to get off the line and let other people get on the air.
All right.
You.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Linda.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And let's see, what do I have here? A number of things, actually. I'll release that line. There's one line available for you, which hopefully we can get to before the end of the night. But the beauty of this is tomorrow night, there's 3 big hours. And we will talk. Oh, we're going to get an update from Jim. That's fun. And let's see, Karen. And we've got Ruth and Chris and, Johnny and Austin. All right, so, I'll stop talking and you'll be starting in moments here on WGN Radio.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Woman done left. Took the reason that I've been working for. You better not. I've been working in this factory for now on 15 years. And all that time I've watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give a shirt right off my back if I had the goods to say. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reason I've been working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Foreman, he's a regular dog. Line
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Take this job and shove it. And that was Marty and Whiting who wanted to hear that because David Allen co-wrote it. And we were talking about him passing recently. Interestingly, David Allen Coe had very mixed feelings about this because he loved the fact that a song he wrote was big, big hit. Hated the fact that everybody thought that Johnny Paycheck wrote it. Yeah, and he... He made some threatening noises, he only could for a while, but ultimately he probably went ahead and was comforted by his bank account after that. All right, so back to Jim in Richmond. And so, okay, Jim, so Friday you'll find out and you'll let us know next week and what else is happening.
Right, but what I told a couple people and stuff is Elon Musk is working with trying to restore the site in people. With electronics. So I told a couple of people, I'm willing, if they have to take the eye, that they put in a false eye with a miniature camera in there and take the leads and hook them to my optic nerves and see if that'll work. So,
wow. Well, hopefully, again, you've been steady kind of at 20. I wouldn't think you really had to worry that much if you could keep it there. But the thing that worries me about Elon Musk is not what he's doing, but just that anything like that usually takes so long in development to come out that it may be very helpful, but who knows if we'll be here to see it.
Right. But I'm just saying I'm willing to be a test subject if that happens.
That's great. That's great. You may want to see if there's any trials or anything like that.
Right. I asked both doctors if there's trials, and they told me no. But because there is where they're using, stem cells.
Right.
And inject stem cells into my optic nerves. But he said he hasn't heard that you know, there's studies about it, but he hasn't heard where they're doing any trials with that. So I was willing to do that. So I just want to let you know that I'm not just sitting on my butt doing nothing.
Well,
so
now, interesting. I just looked this up, and as of this month, Neuralink, that's what the Elon Musk thing is conducting active clinical trials, including a PRIME study to test its N1 brain-computer interface aimed at restoring autonomy to patients with paralysis. In that case, okay, you don't care about that. They also are doing a control of digital devices by thought. Well, that doesn't help you either. So they're doing several trials, but I guess none of them run vision right now.
Right, but I must have misread what I had heard. Mm. Not read, but heard what I had seen. But I thank you very much for giving me the time to speak tonight.
Always. And talk to you next week.
And then hello to everyone, and have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's a Memorial weekend.
Yes, it is. All right, and we will be here Memorial night doing Monday Night Trivia as usual.
Right.
Okay, thanks. So that's the an early Memorial Day this year, too. So usually that's the 25th. That's probably as early as you can get. So, all right, 888-876-5593. Karen in Madison, what's up?
Well, it sounds like Jim's doing better.
Yeah.
That's good, and I hope everyone else is. So I wanted to ask you, how would I know if my house has a, a lightning rod on it? I thought of you as all these people saying they're so worried because their houses got hit by lightning. And then I thought, you've got all those cell phone towers. How are you protecting them?
Oh, we do. We have a lot of a lot of lightning arresting. We have a lot of that. And there's many ways to handle it, but absolutely. There's things to put physically on the tower itself. There's also devices to put in the line that would stop it from affecting much. So, yeah, there's a number of things. We use a power clamp. You know, these are devices that are like $4,000 each, but they work.
Right.
But
if I wanted one on my house,
that's completely different.
I was told that all my life that there was a lightning rod on this house. And now it's making me wonder. And when I walk around, I don't see anything that looks... Well, I think I think it was probably scammed.
Well, I don't know.
Because I was born here.
Yeah.
And because I was scared, I bet they just tried to tell me that. So I wouldn't be scared.
Well, I don't know. You could have lightning rods at the highest point of the roof ridge, but if you don't see anything, like by the chimney, whatever, you might not. But there are other ways to do things to ground situations that you might not see it as well. So you're looking at it in two different ways. One, you're looking at protecting it from structurally, like a grounding network or a lightning rod. The other is you want surge protection. And because you can even have an indirect strike, and if it hits the power grid near you, you can be blown out as far as that goes. So, but it's not something I'd worry about tremendously as far as that goes. I wouldn't.
After what I've been through, I don't think the number of sirens I've heard during the night, I just received my hail damage report today. So I'm not so anxious. I'm just living in the basement.
It'd be different if you were away from home a lot, like if it was just a vacation home and you weren't going to be there. It would be different if you had a ton of electronics and you were really worried about surges being a problem. But,
Probably solve my problem. Yeah, I wouldn't have to deal with computers anymore.
Well, yeah, but I just
went a landline to you, and that's...
Yeah. You won't have a landline in the future. There will be none. And you may think you have one, but it won't be actually a landline. But
no, the C screen, I don't know what's wrong with it. Why it can't even get Chicago. I don't know. Maybe I need a new one.
I don't know, but if you're having problems with reception, call them and let them walk you through it.
It's been years. Then they fixed the road and... It shook it a lot, and I really wonder if it's just, I probably should order another one. Mm. But I was believing that WBZ really got 38 states, but they really don't. They really only go as far as, you know, like Michigan. But they like to pretend they go all the way.
The 38 states and 5 Canadian provinces is really just a liner. We've all used it. It means that. But the reason that AM reception isn't going as far as it used to is twofold. In some cases, it's because the stations don't have a good ground system anymore, but that wouldn't be the case about BZ. Now, what does happen, though, is there's so much interference to AM, everything from dimmers on your lights to your microwave oven and on and on and on, that you've got a lot of interference between you and it. And so the signals are tremendously diminished.
And I think that's probably why I'm having more trouble getting WGN. As it gets light out, it's getting so bad I can hardly hear it during the day. And then I've got, you know, the telephone plugged in and just a dimmer light. You know, as you say, everything is going much faster than we're ready for, is what I say.
There you are. All right.
And that's the final word.
Okay.
Well, thank you for
thanks
the little...
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. So,
you too. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much in most residential situations. Now, obviously, you want to consider it if you're concerned about fire from a direct hit, because, man, I'll tell you, lightning fire is going to take you a lot longer to put out than, you know, say, your stovetop catches on fire or something. So there's time that you might, and depending on where you live, that you might want to consider that. The easiest thing to first do is find something that will be a conductive path to the ground. In other words, ground things. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we got Johnny in Austin. What's up tonight, Johnny?
Hey, can you hear me good?
Loud and clear.
Very good. I got my attention got caught when Linda called in and was talking about Joe Simon and Clarence Carter. Let me ask you this. Is Joe Simon still around? I don't even know.
No, he died in 2021.
Okay. All right. Well, I got the Clarence Carter information in time to play his hit songs last Sunday night, which was great to do. I was sorry to lose him.
Absolutely.
Very sorry to see him go, but 90 years old is pretty good.
Precisely.
She was talking, too, about a couple of... I made my notes on a napkin here, so bear with me a little bit. Cheating in the Next Room, that was ZZ Hill, right?
Yes, Cheating in the Next Room was definitely ZZ Hill.
And that one she was talking about, Last $2?
Yeah, I'm sure that's Johnny Taylor.
Oh, have you heard it before?
I think so.
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
It's great. And Cheating, and I got that. I'm just trying to read my own writing here. Got a nice listener in Florida that found my radio show through your show, and I really appreciate him. His name is Ron, and he listens in Largo, Florida,
and
he's never called your show before, but he listens all the time.
Well, I sure wish he'd call. Ron, get on the phone. All right.
He has interesting history. We did engineering for a couple of stations down in the Tampa area in Florida, and he also met guy who used to own KRBE in Houston, the infamous Dave Wagenfeld.
Oh God, yes, oh man,
the barter man.
Yeah, the barter man, and he bought Drake Chenault for a while and everything else. Yes.
So it was a pleasure to get a long email from him, and he said he stays up and listens to the whole 6 hours of my Sunday show now. So thanks to you.
Well, that's terrific. I'm delighted to hear it. Now, what do we got coming up for Sunday night?
Well, let's see. Are you familiar with this Four Queens tour of Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, and Stephanie Mills?
I've heard it, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah, well, I think this is the second go-round that they've done it. But at 8 p.m. on my show, we usually feature an artist. Last week it was the, Isley Brothers.
Good.
and we've done Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye and a few others. This Sunday night at 8, we're going to feature music of these four queens, Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, and Stephanie Mills, due to this what is called the Four Queens Tour, which hits Houston on May 28th, which is a Thursday at the Toyota Center. And it's gone all over the country, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I also read that Martha Reeves is putting out a new, looks like a new vinyl record.
Really?
You know, she's still out there doing it.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes, but vinyl, that's good for her.
Yeah, I mean, she's ahead of me. I don't even have a working turntable right now.
Yeah, no, I've heard that she was releasing something recorded in New Orleans, I think, but I didn't know she was going to release it on vinyl.
I didn't either until I just saw it this afternoon, as a matter of fact. So, all is well, and I hadn't called in for a while because I've been really busy. I've added a lot more music to my radio show, and it's makes a request a lot more accessible to do. You just got to have access to them. Hey, are you familiar with a song called I Hate Hate?
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely. Razzie Bailey.
Wasn't he a country artist?
Of sorts, but yeah, we actually play I Hate Hate on our FM.
Yeah, I mean, what year was that?
I'm trying to remember. I'd probably have to look it up, but I think it was like 2009.
Oh, it's that recent?
Yeah,
where have these years gone?
I'm not sure. And you know, but we've had it. I'll look it up. We've had it a long time, and I know the categories, and that's why I thought that's...
Well, when I looked it up, I thought, Razzie Bailey, that's a country guy.
Yeah, well, the first thing he recorded was actually something that flopped, and then Dickie Lee came and recorded. I love that song, 9,900,999 Tears. Well, that was originally Razzie Bailey, and it was a flop. And this is like 1966, and the Dickie Lee version didn't come out for like a decade later.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give that a spin sometime?
9,900,999 Tears. Okay.
Yeah, and then Dickie Lee one, and that I Hate Hate by Razzie Bailey. Was that on RCA? I don't know why I'm thinking.
I think it was too. Yes. As far as that, but no, I don't. No, it wasn't. It was on a weird label.
The weird label.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this probably was first released in the 70s, but it was a weird label. I remember it because it was, I can tell you, originally, the first version of it, it was like a green label. Aquarian Records.
Never heard of it.
I told you. it was then released on MGM.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I assume that the esteemed Aquarian probably didn't have something called distribution. So,
yeah.
And Aquarian was a Macon, Georgia label, a little label that meant nothing. But let me see if Razzie Bailey's on this particular computer, because that comes up a lot on KQSS. Let's see.
It's a really good song, but I thought you know, this was some kind of soul artist, and it's like
Razzie Bailey? Absolutely not a soul artist. He couldn't be accused of that. I got a lot of Razzie Bailey. An embarrassing amount of Razzie Bailey. All right, so I will play that next. Why not?
Sounds good. Well, if your listeners have not heard my show yet, might I invite them?
Absolutely. Sunday night, 6 p.m. to midnight Central Time, soulofthecity.net. Or if you use an aggregator, that would be HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
You did it for me.
All right.
You did it better than I could have done it myself.
I doubt it. Looking forward to hearing it.
All right.
Okay,
you have
thanks.
A good night.
You too.
All right.
All right. Bye. Okay, bye. All right, so one more bumper, and it'll be Razzie Bailey coming up on WGN Radio.
All right, now here's a little song I want everybody to listen to. It's talking about love, and it's talking about hate. You know, I think the only way we're going to do away with hate is to get so much love going around till there just won't be any more hate. There's so much hate going on today, on the right and on the left. You see, we hate our brothers, yes we do, and we hate our own self. There's even hate going on today between the young folks and the old. Can't you see all this hate is really eating up our very soul?
Razzie, in effect, on that release on Aquarian Record in 1974. It's just titled to Razzie, and then MGM picked it up, and I don't know if MGM put Bailey on it or not, but in any event, I mentioned he was the first guy to record 9,900,999 Tears. He also wrote it, and his version, which is the not one that Johnny did not request, but his version has some interesting backup studio band. Billy Joe Royal, Joe South, and Freddie Weller played on it. Yep. You betcha Bill Lowry was involved with that. And all right, so I got, seconds is what it is. I'm just talking too much. So let's see. Seconds it is, and Chris in Greenwood. All right, are you still with us, Chris? No.
Yeah, I'm still with you.
All right, well, you got 30 seconds. Go for it.
I just called to tell you that My AM on WCRS is off, but the FM's still on.
Okay, so 1450 is silent?
Yeah, the AM part, but I think he said the transmitter is fried.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Old. And
how long are they intending to be silent?
I don't know, whenever they put it back on.
Well, yes, that would not be what you can tell the FCC. But anyway, all right, good deal. Thanks. You've entered the show. All right, that's it. Sorry, call me tomorrow night. We got 3 hours. Apologies to Ruth, apologies to James. But 21 hours from now, we do it all again. Nice to have Adam back in the saddle. We thank him for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. We thank Steve Probst for joining us in the first hour. But above all, I thank you for calling. Let's do it again tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.
Here Comes the Bride, plus A House Divided, and Number Two Nightmare. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News, real stories, real fun. The Wedding Smasher, Speak Now or Forever, Hold Your Caprice, Ready or Splot, Tainted Black, The Bride's Bonkers Sister-in-Law, a spew shrew who threw a screw-you hue of pitch smack paint all over the bride's white wedding gown. The long-faced woman in a black mess dashed and donned a different dress, but the damage was done. The outlaw-in-law nailed for the nasty nonsense, but the gone-awry bride says she'll never shake the shock and shame of the day she sparred in Meet the Splotcher. The swing vote, the parent scrap. Some goon running for governor in Florida busted for beating his own elderly folks and threatening to shoot Ma and Pa, cops say. The popo pulled up and plucked the poor parents out of the bedroom they were barricaded in. On the way to the joint, Florida manhandle overheard muttering, "Well, I was running for governor." The sun swine spate would have had a tough time with the senior vote. Superbug spread. Bathroom-borne blowback as a brazen bacteria barrels through bodies, bringing brutal bouts of backdoor breakdown. The CDC sounds the siren. This stubborn super strain shrugs off standard solutions, turning simple sanitation into a slippery showdown. This poop-powered problem spreads with punishing pace, making this number two nuisance no laughing matter. Here's hoping it all works out in the long run. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.